Today we continue our sermon series on Love Does with the topic of Free to Fail. Now, when we were getting assigned what topics we were going to have, I made a joke to the other two pastors that you keep assigning me topics like don't be afraid to make mistakes and free to fail, and I want to know if they're trying to tell me something and leave me here seeing if it'll happen, right? But today we have this topic of free to fail. And so I've been thinking about epic fails. If any of you have ever had an epic fail, something that was completely embarrassing. Now, when I was thinking about my own failures, I couldn't really think of anything that was that epic, which made me sad, thinking, well, I've never taken enough risks in my life, I guess. So I had to ask my family and my friends about their epic failure stories. And my dad actually told me this really great one of his. So he was younger, just married my mom, and they moved into their first house together. And so my dad said, I'm going to have my parents over for dinner to impress them now that we're adulting and we're being responsible and we're on our own. So my grandparents came over to my parents' new house, and my dad pulled his grill out, grill master he is, and thought he was going to really show them a great dinner. So it was a grill with the charcoal briquettes, and he said, well, I need to make sure that this, I get a good, really good flame going, so I'm going to add some lighter fluid to this situation. So then he gets his match out, and he lights his grill, and up the flame goes, taking off his beard, his mustache, his eyebrows. Now, I can just imagine my mother's face during this. I'm sure she thought it was very funny. And I'm sure my grandparents are probably concerned, but a little, you know, laughing underneath their concerned faces. But I'm sure that moment that my dad felt pretty vulnerable to what was happening, exposed to people that he wanted to impress so badly. And that's kind of what happens when we fail at things. So often we have to be vulnerable when we don't want to be. There's probably, when you think about being vulnerable, it's scary, and you think there's probably only a few people that you trust to be that exposed in yourself. But when we experience failures, we sometimes expose ourselves to people we don't really want to. And it's hard. And also, when we fail, a lot of times we sometimes think that we're defined by our failures, that they show that we're not good enough, that we don't do our best, that we're not worthy of what we failed at. That is why I love the text for this morning. We have Jesus walking on water, but I would like to retitle this Peter's Epic Failure. And I'm sure you can imagine what it would have been like for Peter, who wanted to be such a good disciple for Jesus. And of course, he's like, Jesus, if it's you, let me walk towards you. And he's walking on water, which I'm sure is very exciting and weird. But then the wind comes up and he gets scared and he looks down and he starts sinking. And then he is vulnerable. And he has to ask his teacher that he's tried so hard to impress to save him. And he feels like an epic failure. And he wonders, am I defined by this? Is Jesus going to want to use me after this experience? And we can all feel what Peter was feeling. But what I love also about this text is what it shows about Jesus and Jesus' character. Jesus doesn't say, Peter, you're an epic failure. I'm never going to use you. But he saves him in that moment. And then if we think about other stories in the New Testament, we know that Peter goes on to be the rock of the church. Jesus says, you are the rock I'm going to build my church on. And all the other disciples go on to heal, to teach, to preach Jesus' message of love. They're used with their gifts. Because what happens is that failures actually become opportunities. Opportunities for us to see who Christ sees us to be, who we can really be. Not so much who we are in this moment, but who we can be. In the story, we see how the disciples see Jesus as a ghost. They don't know who he is. They question his identity. But at the same time, they're questioning their own identity. Who am I? Why did Jesus pick me? I'm not good enough for this. But time and time again, Jesus tells them, you are good enough. You're not defined by your failures, but you're defined by me, who I know you to be and who you will become. And we all get that gift of Christ meeting us in our vulnerabilities and using us in our failures. For those of you who are doing the small groups with Bob Goff's Love Does videos, the video you'll watch this week, he has two great points I loved when I watched that video. He said that we learn things from risk-taking and our failures. What failures do is show us our character and who we can be. But more importantly, they show us who Jesus is and who Jesus says we are and can be. And he also said that Jesus doesn't put things in our way so that we can fail. But instead, maybe Jesus just breaks pieces off of us so that there's more to work with. So there's more to mold and to transform, at the same time accepting us for who we are in the moment. And in these risk-taking that we have, this getting out of our comfort zone, what we also find is Christ's trust. The trust we have in Christ and Christ's power to save us. In that story, we see Jesus immediately grabbing Peter when he calls out, "Save me, Lord." He might say some other stuff later, but he immediately saves him. And before we hear Jesus walking across and saying that, "Do not be afraid," that phrase we hear so often in the New Testament, especially when the angels talk to the shepherds in the Nativity story, "Do not be afraid." And that phrase is not used to diminish us or to dismiss us, saying, "Why are you afraid?" But it's actually used to save, to proclaim. And so Jesus is there to save. He's there to pick Peter up to save him. He's there to meet us, whether we're walking towards Jesus, Jesus is walking towards us, or we get distracted. The common denominator is Jesus is there. Our trust is in him, and he's there to save. And what happens when we take risks, when we do love, acts of love, it takes risks to do that, but when we do it, it impacts other people. In our story today, we have the characters of Jesus and Peter and then the other 11 disciples chunked together. And what that shows us is that Peter's bold risk-taking affects the other 11, because what they do is great. Peter fails, but from that result, they end up confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and they end up worshiping him. I was thinking about a story about walking on water when I was reading this text, and it reminded me of my sister's wedding in Jamaica. And in Jamaica, they have this attraction called Dunn's River Falls, if anybody's been there. And you literally climb up the middle of a waterfall. So I did this. I don't know what I was thinking. And so I went with my family, and we had a guide us up the middle of that waterfall. And we had missteps along the way. We fell into pools of water. It could have been an epic failure for all of us, but the thing is, each of us took that risk together. And it impacted all of us, and we made it to the top of that waterfall. And I'll never forget that. Your risk-taking, the things that you do in life, can affect other people. I heard last week that a member changed another member's tire in the parking lot. Or I heard a story recently about how some members are mowing the lawn of one of the other members who has cancer. These acts that you do in love, when you fill out that heart and you say, "How do I show God's love?" You might not think about the person who's impacted by that and how they might go and share God's love too. So we're called to take risks, to get out of our comfort zone, because love calls us to do so. So I invite you, as you see love working in action, to be a part of it. To be a part of what Christ is doing. And you know, you might slip up. You might fall into the water. You might be discouraged. But we're called to get out, to give of ourselves in love, knowing that Christ is going to be there to pick us up, to dust us off, but more importantly, to always define us as children of God. Amen.